Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you. I know you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got some really good stuff lined up for you straight ahead. We got a special guest, somebody who's been with me for a long time, Charles Caddock. Charles W. Caddock is our good friend. He's been with us since 98. That makes him an original member of our Brain Trust. Chuck is Chief Investment Strategist of Seligman Advisors and Portfolio Manager for Seligman Target Funds, but he also is with the River Source Capital Markets Committee, I should say, and he's our good friend. Chuck Caddock, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's delighted to be here as always.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And also, the author of the book Dow 100,000, Fact or Fiction, and sitting here just short of 10,000, Chuck, I'm still waiting on your prophecy.
Well, you know, it was a vision of how we were on the early days of a great prosperity, and one of the things we warned about, one was a terrorist attack on the United States.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that did come to pass, and the other we worried about was Medicare and how that might cause a huge expansion of government, which could thwart the American prosperity. So I think both of those, interestingly enough, are now in the headlines. But before we get there, I want to just, in front of your listeners, if I may, congratulate you, because next week, I don't know if your listeners know this, but Jim is getting the Advocate Award winner. He's an Advocate Award winner. He's being recognized for his contribution to the small business community right here in New York City. So congratulations, Jim.
Thank you, Chuck, on that. I appreciate that. And that's the New York Enterprise Report folks. They apparently lowered their standards there, Chuck, and I squeezed in. But I appreciate you saying that.
Well, maybe we can get together when you're here.
I hope we can. We'll plan on doing that. I'm looking
all
forward
right.
to that. And in fact, I'll be up there next week, so let's plan on doing that. Chuck, one of the things you've done over the years is in your role as an investment advisor, as a pretty darn good economist, I count on your perspectives on the economy as among the highest quality of anybody that I know. And I'd like to get your thoughts on where you think we are right now in the economy.
Yeah. Well, I think the recovery is definitely underway, and it's going to surprise the consensus on the positive side. There's a lot of evidence of that now mounting.
Does that mean you think that the economy is going to come back quicker than a lot of people are saying? It's going to be more of a V than a hockey stick?
That's right. When you have deep inventory corrections, as we've just gone through, one of the worst
right.
inventory corrections
yep.
in history, you always have a V-shaped recovery. And a lot of it has to do with just the math of how they calculate it. But when you stop reducing inventories, that means you've actually increased your growth rate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's less of a negative, becomes a positive. So the consensus for the rest of the year, the third and fourth quarter, so the quarter we're in plus the remainder of the year, is really under 3% growth. Based on what I'm reading and some of the early evidence now, I think it's probably likely to be north of 4%. And I would not
wow.
be surprised if we don't have better than 5% growth in one of the
how can
third
that,
or the fourth quarter
but,
this year.
But, Chuck, how can that be? And I've heard other people say this, and I'm confused about how this could be. You know that I want to grab onto what you're saying and
yeah.
hold on to it tight. You know that's what I want, and that's what I'm hoping that happens. I pray that what you're saying is true, Chuck. But I have to report what I see is in the reality, and what I'm seeing in reality is we're still growing unemployment. Consumers have changed their behaviors. Even people with money to spend has changed their behavior with regard to leverage and savings and spending.
Yep.
We've got a third. They're reporting a third of the people who are unemployed. The jobs that they left don't exist anymore. Not just the position, but the job. And number three is Chuck, in your my lifetime, we've never had a recovery with a credit crisis like we've got right now.
Okay, great. Let's go
through. Are those fair points?
Let's start with the last one. First of all, I think it's pretty clear that the not for small business, but for the economy in general, the financial crisis is over. Okay, if you look at, for example, the LIBOR rate, which was over 4% at the height of the crisis, is now at 0.25%. That's
right.
The rate at which banks lend to each other
in
London. They were afraid to lend to each other. The market seized up in September and October of last year. It's now business as usual, 0.25%.
Chuck, hold on to that thought, because I'm gonna come back to it. But folks, I'm not gonna let Chuck wander around on Wall Street with Wall Street speak. He's capable, and he will talk in plain English about this, which is what I was talking about, which is not the Wall Street credit crisis, but the Main Street credit situation. And that's what we're talking about right after these messages with our good friend Chuck Cadlick. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to be part of your day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there and using it to your advantage. We built it just for you, where you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful by reading, by listening, by checking out what our Brain Trust members have to say, by asking questions and getting answers, checking out my blog, subscribing to my newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email for free. I hope you'll check out that as soon as you can. And then, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Charles W. Cadlick, he says we can call him Chuck, and we have been now for almost 12 years, is our good friend and our guest, the author of Dow 100,000 Fact or Fiction. He is a portfolio manager of the Seligman Target Funds, which is a member of the River Source Capital Markets Committee. Seligman is now part of the River Source Investments family. Chuck, I'm going to stop you. You were talking about LIBOR and all that. That wasn't what I was talking about. What I'm talking about, when I say credit crisis, there's still a consumer credit crisis. People don't have as much credit on their credit cards as they used to have. They don't have equity in their homes like they have had before. There is a significant reduction in leverage tools, ability to leverage in the for consumers. And you and I, Chuck, have never seen this before. Have we?
Okay, let's take a look at how the economy improved in the second quarter versus the first quarter. Because it doesn't take the consumer. That's what the data show. The data show two things. One is the consumer did not lead the improvement in the economy
right.
in the first and second quarters. And two is that the stimulus plan, which is supposed to increase demand, also didn't help.
Right.
So what worked?
Which we all predicted.
That's right. So what happened is this. The thing that led the improvement in the economy in the second quarter was investments by business.
Right.
Investments by business. So investments in inventory, that is, they reduced their inventories at a slower pace, and they invested in capital goods. It was not investments in retail, consumer housing or individual housing in terms of investments. So they actually improved. The first quarter, that part of the economy contracted at a 9% rate. In the second quarter, a 3% rate. So that's a 6 percentage point improvement in performance. It's still a negative. It's less of a negative.
Mm-hmm.
But as you become less of a negative, that's the first step to becoming a positive. So what's happening now in the third quarter is that the reduction in inventories, what happens is somebody comes into your business, they buy something, you don't replace it.
Right.
At some point, the shelf is bare, which means you pick up the phone, you call your supplier, and you say, hey, I need something. Well, now that supplier, right, has to either reduce their inventory. That's what was happening in the second quarter.
Yeah.
But now the inventories are pretty clean. So when you place that call, the person you call has to put somebody to work to make the thing that you're going to sell.
Right.
That's the way the economy always comes out.
Well, I understand that, and I think we all understand it. So I guess, I hope you're right about the pace that you think the economy is going to pick up. I want small business owners to be prepared for a little, just, you know, if what Chuck says happens, folks, congratulations. But I still want you to be prepared for a little bit of a longer term. I just think it's going to take longer, Chuck.
Well, leading indicators were up fifth month in a row in August.
Which leading indicators?
U.S. leading indicators,
okay,
published by the Commerce Department.
Right.
And in addition, I thought this was pretty interesting. There were five IPOs.
Yep.
There's five companies going public,
mm-hmm,
this week in New York markets.
That's good news.
There wasn't five a month for the last 16 months.
Right.
And there's expected to be another 15 to 20 between now and the end of the year. So capital, again, is flowing to the best companies. Now,
right,
we can talk about headwinds in the next segment. I'm not saying we're out of the woods here.
Right.
What I am saying is between now and the end of the year, the natural recovery of the economy, the thing that always brings people together, which is their desire to have a better life, is starting to kick in, and that's going to the inventory cycle is going to pop the rate of recovery for
a couple of quarters. That's going to be the most interesting thing to watch. Well, let me say this. There's no question, and I've been talking about this. I've seen this myself. There's no question the economy is recovering. There's no question that we're seeing opportunity. We're seeing people freeing up money. We're seeing big companies talking about doing things next year. That's all good. That's all good news. But, Chuck, you talked about the economy not needing the consumer. The consumer heretofore was 70% of the economy.
That's right, and that's greatest ever. In the 1960s, where we had a tremendously strong economy, the consumer was about 60% of the economy. More typically is you have investments and business activity and also less of a trade deficit. So as consumer saving goes up, we supply more of the capital we need here in the United States, and that actually corrects through the trade imbalance. That is, we'll import less capital, which means we'll also import fewer goods and services relative to what we export. So it's hard to get your brain around it, that we are in a global economy. The United States,
mm-hmm,
is just part of this incredibly big economy. Think of it in terms of the city you live in, right?
Right.
If all of a sudden people start saving more and investing more in that city, then you don't need outsiders to invest as much. And what happens then is the amount you bring into your city reduces relative to what you're shipping out of. It wasn't a very good analogy.
Here's the thing. The thing, though, Chuck, that I am worried about. I do. Whether you and I are, you know, regardless of how the recovery is going to turn out, whether it's, you know, more your way or whatever. The thing that I'm the most worried about, I'm not worried about the economy. I'm not worried about the marketplace. I think it will heal itself as it should and as it will. What I'm worried about is government policies. That's where the danger is. What do you think?
I agree with that, but let me make one last point on the recovery. The fact is that corporate profits are also rising at better than expected rates. Like 75% of companies beat estimates.
But those are not quality. Those are not quality profits, Chuck.
No,
those are profits built on the backs of laid off employees, aren't they?
The first thing that leads you out of recovery is always first companies have to increase profits before they start hiring people, which gets to your point about government policies.
Right, which I want you to talk about. You have to talk about after these messages. Chuck and I will be right back, folks. Intel, stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're having a great visit with our good friend Chuck Cadillac. Charles W. Cadillac is the author of Dow 100,000 Fact or Fiction. Chuck, you want to give us a website for Seligman?
Sure. There's two, Seligman.com, Seligman.com. But also, we're part of RiverSource Investments now, and you can find them at riversource.com, RiverSource, one word, .com.
An outstanding family of mutual funds that you can find through your financial advisors, right?
That's correct, and we'd appreciate it if when you're visiting with your financial advisor, you ask them about the RiverSource family of funds, which includes RiverSource, Seligman, and Threadneedle.
All right, so check that out, folks, when you get a chance. Chuck, back in the 1930s, I don't remember those days, and you don't either, but history tells us that we had some tough times in the late 20s, early 30s. But as bad as they were, the reason that we had the Great Depression, in my opinion, was more because of government policies, bad policies, not because of bad economics. And history pretty much tells us that. I'm worried that the same thing could happen now with the takeover, the proposed takeover of our healthcare system, with the protectionist steps that President Obama is taking right now with regard to Chinese tires. These are the kinds of things that are. I'm more afraid of those things than the things we've talked about already today.
Well, I have two things. One is I think we will have a strong recovery in the next two quarters, not because of the stimulus plan. Some might even say in spite of it, But I agree there are some significant headwinds, and that will cause businesses to be very, very cautious about adding workers as we go forward here. And I think among the top of those, you have to include healthcare. This is a 1,000-page bill that creates dozens of new agencies and bureaus and et cetera. What I find interesting is that no one wants to pay for this, right? The advocates, unions, and
right.
And I respect their position. I want to be really clear here. You know, have been proponents for national health care for a long time, but now that Max Baucus, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, his bill in the Senate, it proposes a tax on so-called Cadillac health care plans, which the UAW and other unions have, mm-hmm. they're opposed to that. So they don't want to pay for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other parts of the health care industry that have cut deals, including big pharma and insurance companies. They don't want to pay for this. So, this is a something it's a huge leap. Let's put it this way. You run a small business. I run a business, small business. Mm-hmm. And you know that things never go exactly as planned.
That's right.
That you have to keep adjusting. And yet here we have the government that wants to put in place a single approach with no flexibility, right?
And as if that were the real world.
On 17% of the real economy.
Yeah.
My view is this. If they actually have a better way to insure Americans than what we have now, then what they ought to do is raise the capital and set up a company
right.
and go compete. There's many things we can do mm-hmm. to improve healthcare. One is to increase competition, which means decrease regulations, allow more insurance companies to offer, you know, catastrophic insurance, allow individuals to buy insurance across
right.
state borders.
Right.
I mean, there's many, many things we can do to free up competition and choice.
And do things to help consumers, help patients like you and me become healthcare consumers, not just patients.
That's exactly
one of the
right.
ways.
That way
be...
you have 250 or 300 million plans going on, each individual through their action actually is
right.
executing a plan of some kind
mm-hmm.
that it constantly evolves as things change, as opposed to a really a command and control system
right.
That will impose. And it's just not true that we're going to be able to keep our own health care. We'll be able to keep our health care, but it has to reach now certain standards.
And it'll have to compete with the subsidized government option,
which you won't be able to do
for very long. Chuck, I've only got a minute left. Are you worried about protectionism possibility being increased? The president has already put a tariff on Chinese tires. Are you worried about this?
Yeah, you always have to be concerned about protectionism. It looks so obvious that if you don't allow a foreign competitor, you save U.S. jobs, but you forget that what you've really done is reduce the standard of living of Americans and also reduce the ability of foreigners to buy our products.
Mm-hmm.
The Buy America provision, for example, in the stimulus bill, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal. There's a company in Seattle, small company, that does water treatment plants and had a large amount of its business in Canada. Well, the Canadians
yep.
have now decided not to do business with him.
Right.
And it's cost him a lot of business. He's going to have to lay off employees as a consequence.
That's the problem with politicians getting involved in the marketplace. They don't understand how it works. They think it's monofaceted instead of multifaceted.
I like that monofaceted. But
yeah.
I'm going with that.
Hey, Chuck, give us that website again, please.
Sure. Riversource.com is really the major homepage now. And Seligman.com.
Those
and,
are the family of mutual funds that they offer.
Right.
Hey,
and be sure to ask for the Seligman Target ETF funds.
There you go.
Those are the ones I manage. I think they're a tremendous opportunity for people to invest for a long term.
Thanks, Chuck. See you next time.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.